Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We are always encouraged to know that God is touching lives all around the world through what He is doing right here in New Albany, Indiana. If you have a story about what God is doing in your life, please send an email to amen@hillsidechurch.us. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online or through text so we can continue to bring messages just like this one to you each week. Find out more by visiting hillsidechurch.us.
All right. Well, good morning. Hey, wasn't that VBS video a lot of fun? My goodness, they had a blast. I was able to make it every night, and just incredible. Just again, like Mitch had mentioned, thank you so much to so many of you for helping make that possible. Well, I do again want to greet you. I want to welcome you, and it's a joy to have you here. And we are in part two of a series we began just a couple weeks ago called Things Jesus Never Said. And we're going to take a look at a story from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you, you can open those up. Or if you are into the Bible app, you can pull up the Bible app on your phone and turn to John, chapter 8. We'll be getting there for the story for today's teaching in just a moment. But, you know, as I was reflecting and thinking about this message series, Things Jesus Never Said, how many of you know it can remind you of a phrase, and it's a favorite around my house, and it is this: I never said that. I never said that. How many of you have been guilty in your home? Then you know that you never said that, right? Your spouse or one of your kids or, you know, your long-lost uncle is visiting, and he says, man, I remember when you were this high, and you said, and you're like, no. I never said that. Well, we believe from time to time, we always preach from God's word, but we believe from time to time, it's imperative that we look at some of the things that Jesus did say. And we do a little bit of a twist on that in this series by looking at some things He never said. You know, some of the statements that Jesus didn't say. For example, Jesus didn't say, go into all the world and preach whatever makes people happy. He didn't say that. He didn't say, whoever wants to be my disciple must affirm themselves, avoid the cross, and follow their own heart. How many of you know? He didn't say that. He didn't say, ask and it will be given to you because God is your celestial sugar daddy. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find that in Scripture. But there are some key phrases, some key truths that Jesus did share, and I think it's important we look at, of course, some things he never said. And today we're going to be talking about happiness and living life with the priority of being happy. You know, did Jesus really teach that? Did Jesus really share that? Because I think sometimes in our culture we can think the aim of our lives is to be happy. The sole purpose of our life is to be happy. And how many of you know happiness within the confines of God's word and God's ways? Well, it's tremendous. And it's just, honestly, it's part of His calling and part of the byproduct of following God. But if we make happiness our sole priority, our number one, how many of you know we can take shortcuts around some of the truths of God's word simply because we think something or we think something we do will somehow just make us happy. Happiness in and of itself should not and was never called to be the goal or the aim for our life or for our heart. But I was thinking, hey, some things I have never said. You know, we can oftentimes around my home, especially with our 8-year-old and our 3-year-old, they can take portions of things I said and kind of run wild with them. And I have to track back most often to Kelly and say, honey, you know I never said it quite like that. For example, our 8-year-old, there will be moments. We are a home that believes in raising your kids. And part of the way you raise your kids, you know, into the abundant life God has called them to live is through guilt and manipulation. Amen? And so one of the things we will use in our home is, it is the golden ticket to parenting. You know, we need to start a small group on this. It's the golden ticket to parenting. It is called candy. Come on. How many of you know? Candy accomplishes a lot of things in our home. Amen. Maybe also for me as well. But I was thinking about a few weeks ago, you know, there'll be discussion around our home and our eight-year-old wakes up. No kidding. She wakes up with dessert on her mind. Her thought isn't, Dad, what's for breakfast? What are you packing for lunch? But what's for dessert at the end of the day after dinner? You know, it's that sweet tooth that she has. And I remember I will use, as I just alluded to, I will use candy as a form of a bribery. So I will make a statement like, Lily, who's our eight-year-old, I'll say, Lily, listen, you got to finish all the food on your plate, okay? After you finish all of your vegetables, all your meat, all your carbs, once you get all of that taken care of, I want you to go to your room. I want you to tidy your floor, make your bed. And then I want you to mow the lawn, paint the outside of the house. I want you to spring clean every area. And then at the end of it, come back and see me and I will give you some candy. How many of you know for an eight-year-old, guess what is all that she heard? I will give you some candy. And so she'll run to Kelly and explain it. Dad said I can have a bag of candy. You know, she's taking, what is she doing? She's taking a portion of what was said and she's applying it to the moment. She's missing a few of the responsibilities or a few of the portions of what was said before. You know, from my perspective, some of the most important parts. And you know, it's a little bit, you can parallel, it's a little bit sometimes how we approach Scripture. You know, many times, even myself, I can be guilty of this. Man, God, I want your blessing, but I want to avoid the process. You ever find yourself, God, I want your blessing, but kind of, God, I would really, here's what I'd really appreciate it. If you do it according to my will, my ways, and my understanding. You know, God, I really want your blessing. Like, I want to receive all the good things that you have promised through your word, but I would like it if you kind of are hands off and you just deliver it exactly when I want it. And, you know, that would be great. You know, that and unfortunately, somehow we can get that tied into a bit of the American dream, which I like, which is, you know, the pursuit of life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. Happiness. It's almost embedded in our DNA. Well, and the truth is, happiness is good. We love happiness. I said this earlier in our first service. I said, it's not like we wake up wanting to be sad. You know, it's not like that shouldn't be, you know, kind of your aim. Look, I just want to bring a, you know, I want to bring a spirit of disappointment to everybody I encounter today. No, I mean, nobody wakes up that way. We want to be joy-filled. We want to be pleasant. We want to be happy. But the reality is, oftentimes we make that number one, forsaking or shortcutting the process of God and where He is truly leading us in life and through life. And so today we want to look at a story that happens in John chapter 8. Before I read this story, I want to remind you of something that John said about Jesus. So if you're new to the faith or new to the Bible, in the New Testament, there are four what are called Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we're in John, the Gospel of John. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, he makes this statement. And he says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. I want you to think about those two words, full of grace and truth. That Jesus didn't come with just all truth, and he didn't come with just all grace, but he came with all of both. And so that is his ministry. That is the way he ministers. That is the way he lived. That is the way he looked at people. He talked to people. And what we'll see by the end today is that we need both in our lives. Jesus didn't come. John didn't say, Jesus came to make us happy. He didn't say, Jesus came to just let you live and do whatever your heart wants to do. You know, he didn't come saying YOLO, like every decision you face, just think, you only live once. No, how many of you know? That would be a pretty poor way to live. Thank God I didn't think that way in my teenage years. There were times I wanted to, but I didn't. But I wanna let you know, as we approach the story, think on that Jesus, he's about to come in this story, and he's about to share both grace and truth, and he would do the same over our lives. So John chapter 8, verse 2. At dawn, he appeared, he being Jesus, again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and he started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I want to just pause for a moment. This story has always been one of my favorites. From and through my teenage years, through my young adult years, and even now, this is still one of my favorites. And this portion of the story has for many years been my favorite portion of the story. In typical fashion, you see these elders or leaders of the law along with the Pharisees. They may not have ever agreed on anything, but one thing they agreed on, and that was, we don't like Jesus. And so they reached to what I consider a new low in finding a woman caught in adultery. It's interesting, where's the man? But I digress. They bring the woman into the temple courts. And here's what they do. They're using her as leverage to pigeonhole, if you will, to back Jesus into a corner. And Jesus is beginning to write on the ground. And then he pauses and he says, how about this? You who are without sin. It reads, you are who are without sin. But the actual Greek translates, you who without any desire to have sinned. It's a little richer than the way it reads. It's like even those who would wish or have ever thought of sinning, you who have never thought of sinning, you be the first ones to throw a stone. And then he bends down to write on the ground again, and seemingly it could stop there. We would all smile. We'd all applaud. So look what you tried to do, and Jesus got you instead. Rah, rah. You know, like, yeah. But this is not what, it doesn't end there. Jesus goes on. At this point, those who heard began to go away one at a time. So they began to leave. They understood, look, all of us have sinned, as Paul would say, and fall short of the glory of God. That'd begin to be reality for them. The older ones left first until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you." It's beautiful. What is that? That is the grace. Amen? That is the grace of God. How many of you know our hearts need the grace of God? Amen? How many of you know on our worst day, Jesus died for us? How many of you know at our lowest point, God gave everything to invite us back into the family of God? Amen? It wasn't while in church. It wasn't when the wind was at our back and we actually clicked together 1, 2, 3 days, so to speak. No, it was one in our worst ever moment. It was when the darkest secrets we have crept up and caught up with us. It was in that moment that God's grace stepped in. But here's what I love about the Word of God and about Jesus. Jesus knows what she truly needs. It's not just grace. It's truth and grace. Because Jesus knows what could truly set her free. And so here's what he says. It's a simple one line, but it says this. Go now and leave your life of sin. Go now and leave your life of sin. How many of you know grace opens the door for truth to step in and to set us free? Amen? How many of you know on your deepest, darkest day, right, if you've ever had the privilege of journeying with an addict, how many of you know on their deepest, darkest day, they are already beating themselves up enough. They don't need any help of shaming, condemning, guilting. They know how to do that better than anybody else. And so oftentimes when we come alongside somebody that is struggling, thank God, when somebody is in a weak position or in a, you know, when they are in a circle, if you will, of shame, of guilt, of condemnation, how many of you know oftentimes to come alongside them, just let them know God loves you. There is grace for not only where you are now, but for all of the journey. God's mercy is greater than judgment. He stands in our defense. You know, we would love that. Honestly, I love operating that way. But how many of you know it would not be the purpose and the plan of God for somebody to say, so with that in mind, you do you. How many of you know? You know, God forgives you. Be happy. Keep it up. You know, just continue. Sin even more. Get even more addicted. Keep going. Bondage, it'll take care of you in the end. How many, you know, if somebody said that, you would look at them and be like, that's crazy. That's terrible. You know, you don't want to encourage somebody. Just keep it. How many of you know if you're talking to an addict, the last thing you want to say is, hey, just do what makes you happy. The last thing you want to say to me is just, hey, Paul, you know what? When you consider your marriage, just do what makes you happy. When you consider your kids, just parent. Whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes, how about this, as parents, whatever makes your kids happy, just go ahead and do that. Excuse me? You know? But what are we called? We're called as spouses, as parents, as individuals. What are we called to do? We're called to operate with grace and truth because Jesus did say this. The truth will set you free. Freedom is found by recognizing, by God's grace, by the shed blood of Jesus that covers a multitude of sins, by the love of God expressed, we are totally forgiven. Amen? How many of you are grateful for the work of the cross in our lives? Oh, I'm so grateful for it. We sing about it. We worship that Jesus so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave, right? We're all about, but how many of you know? How many of you know there's a maturing in our lives that needs to take place in following Jesus? And that maturing is we can't avoid the truth of what his word says. And so for this lady to not only be released of shame, but to grasp and to understand and to walk in the purposes and plans God has for her, she had to embrace the second part of the equation, and that is this: go now and sin no more. Look at that. Go now and sin no more. You know, it's funny. You know, we all act up in here in church like sin isn't easy. How many of you know? Sin is easy. How many of you know? Sin oftentimes makes us happy. I mean, y'all don't want to agree with that. I understand, right? We just smile and wave. No, it's real. Sin's easy, right? What culture has to offer us, there's a reason it's easy. I heard a pastor just this past week say, sin is the greatest ride you can ever take in this world. It's the greatest ride you can ever take in this world. But it always leads to destruction. I want you to think about that. The woman, and again, how many of you know adultery takes two parts? All right, easy equation there. I don't know about the story of the man, but I think about the lady. Just think about that for a moment, right? Adultery, what was sin? Was sin in that moment? It felt right. It felt good. It's great. Sin oftentimes leaves us with a temporary experience, but so often a season of regret. God's grace comes in, but God's grace, it's not haphazard, it's not weak, it's not momentary, it's sustainable in our lives. And his grace comes in, and then what happens is it begins to unfold in our lives. It leads us into the truth of who he is and what he has spoken over our lives. Because we live, I don't know about you, I can feel the pull of it. Do what feels good. Do what feels good. You know, like, you know, it's so fun with social media. Just be yourself. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, you don't want me being myself. All right, I won't share stories, okay. But I'm just telling you, you know, it's just like, be yourself. Listen, be yourself, and here's your true self. You were created in the image of God. You're a son and daughter of the living God. You're not searching for identity. God has given you identity. And here's what he's saying to this lady. He's saying, you are chosen. You are set apart. They brought you in here for shame. I've brought you in here to give you a hope and a living future. You will not be identified as a woman caught in adultery. You'll be identified as he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And she, you can imagine, I mean, go with me for a moment. That cloak of shame, that cloak of guilt, it's almost like in culture. You know what culture's doing these days? It's trying to redefine sin, hoping for a different outcome. Y'all, you can't redefine sin. You can't avoid and try to navigate relationships, try to navigate life along a specific line that's outside of the Word of God. Well, you can. You just won't reap the freedom that comes from walking in light of God's Word. And His Spirit within us empowers us for that life. I had my coffee earlier. The passion is there. But I recognize even these moments in my own life that my thinking, or even sometimes the way of calculating or processing my future, or just all sorts of things in life, I can sometimes just lean into what feels right. And when you lean into what feels right, it multiplies into a generation who simply operates by what feels good. No concept of sacrifice, no concept of enduring hard days. We just want the next high. We just want what can feel good, you know, and you begin to view people, you begin to view culture, you begin to view your country as serve me. It's no longer about serving God, it's all about God serving me. It's a slippery slope. I've been there. But it's not the pattern, it's not the plan, it's not the hope God has for you. I remember in my child years, in my teenage years, I had a view of this book, a view of these scriptures, and I just thought, man, it's just like God to send a letter, to send a book of do's and don'ts for humanity. And he used to, and my youth group, praise be to God, they could preach some fire. You ever receive some fire from the pulpit, your teenage years? They could preach some things that I began just to only see this as a list of do's and don'ts. But as I've grown in relationship with God, as He has begun to speak within my heart, I recognize, no. God's Word, God's ways have always had my best interests in mind. That there is something to life living within guardrails, amen? And there is something to the straight, there's something to the narrow that has far fewer regrets than living life to what makes us happy or what feels right or feels good. I came this morning, if you will, with this message to encourage you to take stock, if you will, but to take life and to begin just to examine what would life look like yielded to the grace of God, but walking in the truth of God. Amen? There are moments, listen, there are moments, there are seasons where we must just rest. We always rest in the grace of God. But part of that rest is also walking and knowing the truth of God. Come on, sin, let's just be honest. Sin leaves you restless. It's exhausting. It is exhausting. It's broken down. The system is broken. And Jesus fixed it by His forgiveness, by His mercy, but also by His truth. I love to I love to think about these words and think about the truth of God, because when we see Jesus operating in this story, it's such a beautiful picture of God's heart towards us. Nothing but love. And you can see love sweeping in with grace. And then what does love do? Love carries her forward into her future, where she can walk in the blessings, walk in the peace, walk in the hope of God. But as I said earlier, isn't it funny? Culture these days, we're just trying to rewrite things. Rewrite relationships, rewrite ways of living, rewrite ways of understanding our identity. Why are we trying to do that? Because we so desperately want to be free. But sometimes we short-circuit the ways of Scripture and the ways of God. Jesus operated with truth and grace. And I love that. I hope your heart is encouraged and impassioned this morning to live that way. I love this short example, and we'll close. Max Lucado, who's a pretty famous Christian pastor and author and does the whole thing, and I was reading this story on his blog. He uses the example of a fish. It's kind of fun, so go there with me. But he talks about a fish being out of water. He says this: take a fish and place him on the beach. Watch the gills gasp and scales dry, and then ask, is the fish happy? No. How do you make him happy? Do you cover him with a mountain of cash? Do you get him a beach chair and sunglasses? Do you bring him a Playfish magazine and martini? Do you wardrobe him in double-breasted fins and people skin shoes? No, of course not. Then how do you make him happy? You put him back in his element. You put him back in the water. He will never be happy on the beach simply because he was not made for the beach. You will never be completely happy on earth simply because, think on this, you and I were not made for the things of earth. Your heavenly Father knows exactly what you and I need. Amen. He knows what we need better than what we know what we need. Proverbs 3 explains it or phrases it like this: lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Well, what does that mean? That means don't lean on purely and only your logic, but trust God and lean on His truths. There are moments in Scripture, I've had a pastor share this before. He said, sometimes God will mess with your mind to get to your heart. Sometimes God will mess with your mind to get to your heart. You think about your prayer life. Prayer is done by faith. Have you ever faced an impossible situation? Have you ever faced great difficulty? And sometimes God is simply asking, look, I know what's on the table. I know what's at play. I know you're seeing this portion of the journey, and you are already making plans. I want to just advise you, don't short circuit my ways, my plans, my purposes for your life. Sometimes we get geared too swiftly into happiness and we jeopardize God's word and God's spirit in our lives. And that's what I'm leaning into for a moment, is that there are times logically God calls for our obedience. How is the obedience possible? Through faith. Through faith. Okay, what does that mean? By trusting Him. By trusting Him. Daily trusting. Daily trusting. Keep in mind, Jesus, moments after this scenario, just a few days later, He would be in the Garden of Gethsemane. And can I tell you, He was faced with a decision. Am I going to be obedient to what my Heavenly Father has called me to do? You can break it down really easily. Am I going to do what makes me happy or what makes my Heavenly Father happy? Jesus, fully God, but here's where we also forget, He was fully human. And at that moment, the Gospel of Luke accounts that Jesus' sweat was drops of blood. Can I tell you, there is always an easy way out. Can I tell you, there is always an easy button. Sin offers an easy button. There is like a be happy button. Boom, I'm going to do what makes me happy. Boom, I'm going to do what's easy. Boom, I'm going to just short circuit some of what I know God's calling me to do because I just want to, it's just for a moment. It's just a little bit. It's just, hey, it's not permanent. It's just a temporary season I'm in. Look. It's just a little fun that nobody knows about. It's just, look, you don't understand. I'm in control of this. What? I don't know that you are. You need to lean in. And here's what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Fully God, yet fully human. Aren't you glad he chose to yield himself to the will of God? And it's in that moment that Jesus yielded, not my will be done, but Father, your will be done in and through me. Can I tell you, we are in a season where God is looking for his daughters and sons to live like that on a daily basis. Not my will, but your will be done. There are areas, there are elements in the life of God. I don't know about you, but I remember years ago in the journey of God with finances. Man, the tithe seems crazy. But yet I've learned over time, Kelly and I have learned over time. Actually, we knew it way long ago. But we recognize, man, that is okay. That God invites us. Can I tell you, there are areas relationally. God invites marriage into what? Covenant. I mean, you know, there are other things you can do outside of marriage that may make you happy. Y'all acting like you don't know. I get that. But they just make you happy. What is that? That's the easy button. It's no big deal button. That's the God. Hey, it's just adultery. What's up? She didn't say that. And can I tell you what sweeps in when we recognize? We recognize what? We recognize God's grace overwhelms us. On our darkest days, Jesus died so that we might have life, fully forgiven. But can I tell you, we want to walk fully forgiven, but we also want to do what? We also want to keep in step, as Paul would write a few years later, keep in step with his Spirit. Why do we want to keep in step with the Spirit of God? Because the Spirit of God leads us to the abundant life Jesus came to bring us. It's not about a ticket. Listen, Christianity is not about a ticket for the afterlife. It's about heaven invading earth now. Amen? Invading every area of our lives. And it requires us to embrace the grace of God, but to also embrace the truth of God over our lives. Amen? I want to tell you again, God has your and my best interests in mind. I just want to invite you, if this is between you and God, if there is an area you're growing casual in, you're not going to like me, but hear this, yield to the will of God. Yield. I love you too much to tell you otherwise. Yield to the will of God in your life. He's a good heavenly Father. He knows what is good for you, what is right for you. I want to tell you, you can turn. You can turn. That's really what repent means. It means to turn away. It's this idea of going and leaving your life of sin. And how many of you know there is freedom in the love of God? That his mercy, his forgiveness, his grace washes over our lives. And here's what it does. It empowers us to walk in the truth of who he is. Come on, let's pray. God, thank you for your word. I thank you for your great love towards us. Lord, I thank you for the freedom that we have that is found in you. So full of mercy, God. So full of grace. We don't take it for granted, Lord. We recognize even on our weakest days, in our hardest moments, Father, we find you there. As David would say, where can I go from your spirit? And Lord, we just pause and we say thank you for the grace of God over our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would empower us by your spirit to live and walk in the truth of who you are. Lord, some of us have friends that they don't even mention it, but we know they're looking to us. They're looking to see how we navigate relationships. They're far from you, God, but they're looking to us to see if you are even real. If you can be trusted. If you are faithful. If your word can be tested and found true. And so, Father, if there is any area in our lives, any area of our heart, Lord, we ask that you would sweep in with your grace. That you would forgive us. You would remove the blinders from our eyes, God, that we would examine and see and find your grace in that place, Lord. And that you would empower us through your spirit to walk in truth. Lord, the reality is that we are the only Bible our friends may ever read. Would you empower us by your mercy? Would you empower us by your grace? That we would represent your truth to the world around us. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ushers, if you will come.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.